Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is conservation biologist Alicia Mueller. Today we're going to talk about pollinators, pollinator plantings, and a new program you have working with schools around the state. Alicia, what are pollinators?
So a pollinator is really any species, any animal, insect that will move pollen from one plant to another. So bees and butterflies, most people know those are our big pollinators, but bats can be pollinators, hummingbirds, even small mammals. So anything that really has little furs or fine scales, like butterflies have really small scales, anything that can trap that pollen and transfer it to another flower can be a pollinator.
Okay, how about pollinator plantings?
So pollinator planting is going to be a seeding that's meant to benefit those pollinators. So they are pretty forb heavy, but they have a lot of native grasses and plants that have that nectar resource that our pollinators need.
Flowers.
Yep, a lot of different flowers. So all pollinators look for something different in their flowers. Bees like to have a flat landing surface. So a lot of asters like echinacea are visited often by bees. Butterflies have like those long feeding snouts called proboscis. So they usually visit flowers with long tubes. So they all look for something a little bit different. Flies usually go for flowers that smell like they're rotting. So having a wide variety in a pollinator planting is really important. Our pollinators also need nesting and shelter. So having bunch grasses is really important. On windy days, butterflies and beetles and bees will hunker down in those bunch grasses for shelter. So having a mix between our flowers for that nectar and our floral resources and those grasses.
Okay, why are pollinators important?
Well, pollinators, I think it's been estimated globally that they offer into the global economic, about $220 billion. In the United States, they're estimated to be about $18 to $27 billion. So they pollinate our crops. That's the main reason they're important. Things like cherries or almonds, macadamia nuts, watermelon, we wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for our pollinators.
I read somewhere where it says like one in every three bites are attributed to pollinators.
Yep, they estimate about one in every three bites we have is thanks to an animal pollinator. So not all plants need an animal pollinator. So grasses don't need animal pollinators. They're wind pollinated. So things like corn don't actually rely on insect pollination. But I think it's about 85% of all flowering plants do rely on an insect or mammal pollinator. So they are pretty important.
Are pollinators declining?
Honeybees, since they provide us honey and we ship them around to pollinate our crops, they are studied very closely. So we know for a fact that they're declining. I think it's about 30% colonies, about 30% of the colonies have been lost in the United States every year since 2006. So we're seeing severe declines with honeybees. Bees are our most efficient pollinators, so they visit flowers to collect nectar like all of our other pollinators, but they're also collecting pollen. So they use that pollen to rear their young back in the nest in the hives. So they visit a lot of different flowers. So going from flower to flower, they pollinate quite a bit of our wildflowers. So they are most efficient, but they're not our only pollinator. Monarchs are also studied pretty heavily. So we know that the monarch population is in severe decline. About 80 or 90% of that population has declined within the past two decades. Other insects, other pollinators aren't studied as much, but we are seeing some big reductions in our pollinator populations.
Do we know why pollinator populations are declining?
You know, a lot of people think the big problem might be agriculture, but the number one irrigated crop in the United States is our lawns. So you think of a green lawn, people don't even like dandelions. So there's not much resources out there for our pollinators. They need that nectar, they need nesting places, and we're losing that. So North Dakota's lucky. We still have a lot of beautiful prairie out there. A lot of our ranchers have kept their land in really great condition. So we have a lot of honeybees here. We have a lot of native bees, but we're still seeing those declines. So we really need to make sure we keep those resources on the landscape for them.
North Dakota is the number one honey producing state. So pollinator habitat in North Dakota is very important.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm sure everybody has seen those white boxes around the prairie. Honeybees are very popular here in North Dakota. We have some of the best prairie left for them, but their declines are somewhat linked to habitat loss across the United States. Those resources that they really need are being taken off of the landscape. So those flowers, those grasses, and that's why these pollinator plantings are so important.
Okay. How does the pollinator plantings help wildlife?
Well, they help pollinators, which is important because I think it's 89% of birds depend on pollinator insects for their diets. So our upland game birds, our songbirds, they're eating pollinators for their diet. Having those grasses, those native flowers, that provides great cover for our birds as well, our ground nesting birds, our upland game birds. So it's all very interconnected.
Sure, so like pheasant chicks, their first couple weeks of life are very dependent on insects.
Yeah, so a lot of people always think about cover being the most important thing for pheasants and grouse, but really you can get cover with a lot of different plants, but you're not getting that insect population. And so without all of that, all of those insects, without that healthy population, it's hard to sustain healthy bird populations.
Let's talk about your new school program, the Urban Pollinator Program, also known as the UP Program.
So we are working with schools. This is our first year, so it's just a pilot year. We're just getting it off the ground. We have 7 schools signed up, so we're working with teachers to create pollinator gardens at the schools. So we know that it's a little bit hard for teachers to sometimes get out and take their students on field trips, so we wanted to give them some kind of outdoor resource where they can learn about this topic in the schools. So we're working with NRCS, the Plant Materials Center here in Bismarck, and they're growing plants for us. So each school is going to get 100 plants to plant directly into the gardens, and then the students will get plants to grow in the classroom, and then they'll get all of the resources for the curriculum that goes along with the garden.
Okay. How many schools do you have signed up this year?
7 so far this year. We're hoping to maybe do about 10 to 15 a year. So we'll open registration in fall, and then they'll start getting their materials in spring.
Okay, statewide?
Yes, it will be statewide. This year we have 7 schools from all across the state. So.
Okay. What's the future?
We're hoping to expand. We're hoping to sign up more schools each year. Really the goal is the more of these small gardens we get along on the landscape, the better, or the bigger the benefit it is for the pollinators. They are mobile, they can fly around, so having these little patches of habitat is better than no patches. So we really want to get them in areas where maybe these resources have been lacking, so in communities, at schools is a perfect place to do it because the students can learn, but we are offering that habitat that's been lacking. So we really want to open it up to a lot of different schools and then maybe even take it beyond just the school, going into groups, community groups, clubs, organizations. We want to be that resource for anybody that's interested into this kind of program.
Okay, so if a group is interested in a pollinator planting, who can they call?
They can call me. Game and Fish, we have a lot of different resources. NRCS has different resources on pollinator planting. It really depends on what size they're looking at. These school gardens are about 150 square feet, so they're pretty small. We're starting off small, so it's easy and it's manageable, but landowners can contact NRCS if they're looking to put in big plots into pollinator plantings.
You don't need an acre or half acre. Some of these smaller gardens work well too.
Yes, yeah. So the whole idea is, you know, quantity. You know, they're mobile species, and having these little patches of habitat across the landscape is going to have a huge benefit. So even a landowner planting 1 or 2 plants, native flowers in their yard, the pollinators will find that resource and they will use it. Even putting a pot out of an apartment window is a benefit. So there's such a benefit in these large numbers. So we're really looking at the quantity and trying to get it all the way across the state.
A lot of good information, Alicia. Thank you.
No problem.
The 2018 Spring Wild Turkey Lottery has been held, and individual results are available on the North Dakota Game and Fish Department's website at gf.nd.gov. The Game and Fish Department will mail the spring turkey licenses to successful applicants after they purchase a valid 2018-2019 hunting license. All spring turkey hunters, regardless of age, are required to have a general game and habitat license in addition to their spring turkey license. Hunters age 16 and older must also have a small game license or a combination license. The 2018-2019 licenses are available for purchase beginning March 15th. For conservation biologist Alicia Mueller and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.